Representative Walter Hudson is in the studio. We'll talk to him in just a moment here on Twin Cities News Talk. My name is John Justice. We have one more item in Robbie's rundown this morning to get to.
We sure do.
Number one.
John, following a candidate endorsement for District 12B in Minnesota, the Minnesota DFL has released a statement disavowing the choice and calling the candidate unfit for elected office. In November, Jude Hoff won an endorsement from a local DFL party to run in District 12B, a House of Representatives seat that includes parts of Douglas, Stearns, and Pope counties. But on Monday, the DFL chairman, Ken Martin, issued a statement saying their party would no longer back him following the revelation of previous criminal offenses. Quote, "The kind of violent and threatening behaviors that Mr. Hoff is engaged in have no place in the Minnesota DFL party. The Minnesota DFL strongly disavows this endorsement, and I have asked the local unit in question to withdraw their endorsement immediately," Martin said in a statement. "The Minnesota DFL will not spend any of our resources on behalf of Mr. Hoff. We all have a responsibility, regardless of party or ideology, to reject violence in our politics. We can and should expect better from our candidates for elected office," end quote. Criminal records show the judge has convictions for second-degree assault and several counts of damage to property and disorderly conduct. Fox 9 is told the DFL often does background checks for candidates, but it's open to local units, and in uncompetitive races, that may not happen. Representative Mary Franzen, a Republican, has won seven straight terms in the 12B district dating back to 2022, also a friend of the show. In the past, Representative Franzen has documented Hoff, someone she claimed had moved across the street from her after years of protesting her. This is a interesting story.
So I was actually kind of surprised that this was getting some regular mainstream attention. It was in some of our local media outlets, even apart from the Minnesota Reformer that covered it, too. State Representative Walter Hudson, I did a little bit of digging this morning, and I've been following this a bit online as well. But this individual's antics, for lack of a better word, they've been known for quite a long time. Perhaps they shouldn't have endorsed him in the first place. I have a hard time believing that this all just came to light and they just now became aware of this individual's backgrounds.
No, it's completely implausible. It strains credulity past the point of absolute zero, right? There's simply no way the Democrats didn't know what they were doing here. And in fact, since that statement came out from Ken Martin yesterday, the local Democrats who endorsed this clown have doubled down and said, no, we're sticking with him.
Of course they have.
And so, look, I'm not surprised that this got coverage in the Star Tribune because they're doing the obligatory virtue signal, right? So Ken Martin's statement, I applaud. It was strong. It was unequivocal. It was also solo. He's the only one who said anything in any position of prominence or any position whatsoever.
Yeah.
Condemning this. And the game here is he puts out a strong statement. The Star Tribune dutifully reports, party chair says strong thing about bad man. And then we're all supposed to just forget it happened and walk away. I'm sorry, no. There's a lot of questions that are still hanging in the air. How did this happen? Nobody vetted this guy? We now know that the local people are nuts. I mean, that's just beyond dispute. They've doubled down in spite of now being called out on endorsing this guy, who, by the way, in case you missed it, is a machete wielding,
yeah,
trash diving stalker creep who bought the house across the street from Mary Franzen for the purpose of placing her in perpetual threat, putting her in a state of perpetual distress by having a guy who's that creepy literally looking through her window from across the street. It is inconceivable that this type of behavior directed against a Democrat would get one brief article in the Star Tribune, one curt statement from a party official, and nothing else. We wouldn't be talking about it ever again.
See, it's the aspect of the individual living next to Mary Franzen and what you just laid out that flips this whole thing on its head. Because you're right, and I'm glad you pointed it out. We're going through the DFL-backed media cycle here. You know, they get called out, and that's why they're upset. I mean, that's why he issued the apology, was just because it had attention. They knew prior this guy's background. The doubling down from those that endorsed this particular candidate doesn't surprise me. And I think typically you could, I don't want to say wash your hands of it, but you could back away and go, listen, DFL, do what you're going to do. Whatever. But there's a whole other dynamic here with the intimidation attempt that's taking place. And so I guess that raises the question in my mind, Walter, is, you know, how do you handle it moving forward? There's the angle of taking advantage of this politically, letting individuals know what's going on, trying to go and expose, you know, what's happening here and the intimidation by this individual and the DFL supporting it. But it also, it's abundantly wrong what's taken place with this person and them living next to Franson. And so it kind of has me scratching my head of, you know, what do we do? What do you do moving forward with regard to this issue?
Well, that's a question that needs to be answered by Representative Franson in terms of what she's already attempted to do. I'm sure there's a story there, and what kind of resistance she's run up against. I recall hearing, and don't take this to the bank, that local prosecutorial authorities have refused to act against this clown. I don't know what possible reasoning they could have. I mean, this is as clear-cut a case of stalking behavior as I have ever. I've never even heard of a story of somebody taking stalking to the extreme of buying a house next to him.
Yeah, I guess that's where.
I mean, that is the most bizarre, threatening, disturbing action. You're going to purchase a piece of property. Like, he's so obsessed with her that he purchased property to be in proximity to her. I mean, there is no rational person who looks at that and fails to recognize the ongoing threat that it presents. And what do the Democrats do? They endorse him. They endorse him for the House of Representatives. The same people, by the way, who just passed a red flag law, because if somebody walks into a court and makes accusations that you might be a threat to yourself and others, that means you're too dangerous to have your Second Amendment rights upheld. But you might get endorsed by the DFL to run against one of our incumbents. They might be eager to put you up on the ballot. The level of absurdity here, again, it breaks your brain to think about it. And there hasn't, to my knowledge, there's been no statement whatsoever from Melissa Hortman, Speaker of the House. There's been no statement from Aaron Murphy. There's been no statement from any prominent elected Democrat or any elected Democrat whatsoever. And on our side, there isn't a single one of us who wouldn't be chased down in the corridors of the Capitol by reporters asking us to disavow, disown, speak to, comment on an endorsed Republican who is behaving this way against a Democratic woman.
I would like a statement and somebody to get in front of Judd Hoff.
Right.
I'd like to hear from him. I put up the lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien, signal into the air to see if he's listening, because I'd be interested to get his thoughts on where this lands in terms of, you know, stalking. Because you're right. I mean, that's what this appears to be. But this is sort of next level. When you look at a situation like that and what's been taking place, we'll take your talk backs as I talk with State Representative Walter Hudson. I'll let the signal go out for a bit as I wait to hear back from Jeff. Let's move on to some other items.
Sure.
I know you wanted to share what had taken place last night. I haven't seen the information on this yet, but what took place last night during the legislative session?
Oh, man. Wild and raucous floor debate last night on the House floor on two issues. The first one, and I think the most prominent, was an effort by us to stop the spending of your tax dollars. By the way, yesterday, tax day, favorite holiday of the year, right? Hope you enjoyed coughing up your hard-earned money to the government to waste. One of the ways that they're wasting it is by redistributing it, just handing it out, giving it to illegal immigrants intentionally. It's not even by accident. It's not for failure of safeguards. That's the plan. The plan is we're going to give your money to illegal immigrants. And so we tried to stop that on the House floor last night. There was an amendment. I believe it was put forward by, well, I don't want to say because I don't want to get it wrong. But Representative Isaac Schultz got up in the debate, and it was one of the most astounding moments I've ever seen on the House floor. Just to give you some background. So it's tradition. It's not required, but it's considered good form that as a member of the House, if you're asked by another member to yield to a question, you yield to the question. In other words, give them the, opportunity to ask something of you, and then you respond. We had, and you can go see this on Twitter right now, I retweeted it. We had Isaac Schultz in turn try to ask, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so on their side, the question, how much, what percentage of the Minnesota budget, how much of Minnesotans' hard-earned taxpayer money should go to illegal immigrants? About 12 people turned him down. Would refuse to answer the question in a breach of decorum, a breach of tradition, unlike anything I've ever seen. And of course, we know why they refuse to answer the question, because they can't.
Right.
Right. Like, there is no politically correct answer to that question. They this point can't be stressed enough. They know that what they're doing is unpopular. The quote unquote Democrats who value democracy know that what they are actively pursuing is deeply unpopular, and they're doing it anyway because they don't care about democracy, and they sure as hell don't care about you. And we made this point last night on the House floor, and I was very proud of our team for doing so, talking about the fact that America first, what that means for people is they've been forgotten as an entire class of citizens. We have been forgotten, the people who follow the rules, the people who did what they were supposed to do, who paid their bills, who pay back their loans, who go to work, who protect their families and care for their children and serve their communities. We're supposed, the deal is, the social contract is, you follow the rules, you reap the reward. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Right.
Instead, what we're doing is we're having, and a lot of this experienced this yesterday, I know I did, we got to send even more money to the state and even more money to the feds than has already been taken from us, so they can do what? So they can hand it over to people who've done nothing except for violate our sovereignty, break our rules, thumb their noses in our face, and flick us off. Our money has to go to those people. That's the position of the Minnesota Democrats.
Well, and it looks as if this is their, you know, their strategy moving forward and how they intend to go win future elections. I'm not going to keep harping on the comment that I make so often about the cover that they get from the media. It's there. You know, it's there. We were just talking about it a moment ago. That exists. It's all a part of this. There is polling data and story this morning coming out showing that these are tight races forming in the upcoming election when it comes to the vulnerable seats that are available in the legislature, and the GOP is gaining. Now, whether or not the GOP can go and capitalize this is going to be the big question. I'd like to believe that if the information was out to the public, those polls wouldn't be so tight, because you're right. This type of legislation they're working on is deeply unpopular, but it seems to me that this is what they're playing the long game here. They're appealing to these groups. They think that these are the groups that in the future they're going to be able to have voting for them, and it won't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. What the majority of their party thinks, if the majority of their party is even fully aware of what they are actually doing during the legislative session. You back up further, though. You were talking about the breakdown in decorum. And it's just so indicative of what we're seeing just on a mass scale. It's a societal breakdown. We talk about this all the time, whether it's sort of the standards of which you guys are supposed to follow when you're going through the legislative session, right on up through the courts, right on up to, war conflicts.
Yeah.
And the way the wars are being waged right now, we're in a very, very, precarious spot right now, just on an even global scale, right on down to our local politics. And I do not know where the future leads at this point.
Walter. Yeah. I mean, another example that pops into my head is the Supreme Court. I forget the exact details of this case, but a case went all the way to the Supreme Court recently. I believe it had to do with border enforcement and the Texas situation.
Right.
And the Supreme Court ruled one way, and then a lower state court ruled against them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sorry. Like, what does Supreme Court mean? What does the word supreme mean? Like, what's the purpose of that word? Okay, so you're right. They just flipped the game board. When things aren't going their way, they just throw the rule book out the window and dare you to come at me, bro. That's their whole game. And it's an incredibly dangerous game because the classical liberal order, civil order, peace in the streets is maintained by abiding by such rules, traditions, yeah. and decorum. If people get the sense, which people increasingly are, that there are no rules, or that it's rules for thee and not for me, or the other way around, past a certain point, they're going to be like, all right, you want to play no rules game? We'll play no rules game and see how it goes. That's an incredibly dangerous place for them to take us, and they know it, and they're intentionally taking us there. Because similar to the chaos that's invited in, quite literally, with illegal immigration, a game that, as you state, they think they can win,
mm-hmm.
I believe they also think they can win the game of societal breakdown.
Yeah.
Because they saw it in 2020, right? They saw civil unrest redound to their political benefit. And so I think they're fully bought in at this point that they want to poke the bear. They want to provoke us to violence and law breaking and see the social order break down, because they think that on the other side of that, they're going to come out with more power.
Couple of just two other quick examples, and then I want to share something I heard this morning. Robbie covered this when I was on my trip to Georgia, but the Apple River trial, you know, and here you have an individual, you know, going and defending himself, and you know, we know the outcome of what happened there. You look at what's at stake with the Londrigan case. Mm. Right. And there's the family's looking at a lawsuit. I think that might be a foreshadowing to their expectation that it may not go the way that they want. I was listening to Tim Pool, the conservative commentator, and it's a good listen. I like the guests that he brings on, and they were talking about much in the same thing that we're talking about now, looking at what's happening, whether it's the trials with Trump or what's happening in the Middle East. And there was one individual on there, and I don't know who it was, but he was saying that, well, he had hope. Because he believes that the young people coming up, you know, are going to see what's going on and they're going to force the change to get things pointed in the right direction. Tim was reluctant to go down that path in the way that he described it. And this is the point that I wanted to make. He's like, it feels like we're all in the car and the car is heading off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, how well are you strapped in?
Right.
Right. How much protection have you given yourself?
Right.
For when that car crashes, how prepared are you going to be to walk away and to pick up the mess? And I feel like that's where we're at right now. It really comes down to this personal responsibility of making sure that you and yours are prepared for whatever may come. And I don't want to be doomsday about it, but we are seeing a breakdown right now. I'd like to believe that these are cyclical and will come out of this cycle. We're in the middle of an election. It's not surprising. Be that as it may, there certainly don't seem to be a lot of indicators that car is going to turn the corner anytime soon. It looks more like it's heading off the cliff.
Well, either way, whether we can stop the car or whether it's going off the cliff and we just got to make sure that we're strapped in well, either way, on the other side of this thing, the only way things get better is by us renewing our conviction regarding what our rights are and then demanding that they be upheld and holding people accountable to the truth. The truth is so overwhelmed right now by the indifference and malice of our institutions and those who are currently in charge of our state. And it needs help. It needs a boost. And that's the role that we play, whether we see the ultimate reward or not. I mean, that's there are so many lessons in history, but just in nature itself. You know, I think about the analogy of farming, you know, planting in the spring and harvesting in the fall. And a lot of work in between. That's the way these things work. We live in this instant gratification culture where you pick up your phone and you get the adrenaline hit right now. But that's not the way our culture is going to be saved. It's going to require diligent, consistent, focused effort in service of the truth.
There was a talkback that rolled in. I'm not going to play it because they use a stupid voice. And I've emailed the person and said, you're never getting your talkbacks played unless you do a regular voice. Just want to share with you, because I can read the transcript here.
Sure.
A breakdown in decorum. Didn't Trump start that? Have a good one. interesting to me that we'll just completely ignore what happened under the years, right. the years of Obama and where we were actually as a country prior to that and what Obama did in office leading into that ushered in Trump, right? Mm-hmm. But it kind of goes back to that, you know, well, you know, Trump doesn't speak the way that I like him to speak and Trump tweets things that I don't like. So it's really all just Trump's fault. If it hadn't been for Trump, we wouldn't be in this place right now. And no, make no mistake, regardless of whether or not it was Trump, we would probably still be where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's mind-numbingly stupid on multiple levels. First of all, Donald Trump is not an elected member of the Minnesota House of Representatives, and it's therefore completely irrelevant to the conversation we're currently having. Secondarily, if your premise is that Trump's behavior, in your judgment, is bad, that means you're endorsing it for Minnesota Democrats? That doesn't make any sense. And then third, that rhetorical smoke bomb is meant to deflect from the substance of what we're talking about, which is Minnesota Democrats stealing from hardworking,
right,
rule-following residents of the state of Minnesota in order to redistribute that money to people who showed up yesterday with their hand out. I'm a little more concerned about our people getting stolen from and having to watch as their hard-earned money is handed over to people who are violating their laws and thumbing their nose in their face. I'm a little more concerned about that than I am about literally anything Donald Trump has ever said or done.
I know there was a fantastic piece of audio of you on the House floor talking about the upcoming ethnic studies. I encourage everybody to go and check that out. I'll do a retweet using TCNT on X and my personal account, John J-O-N Justice. Before I let you go, Walter, because I know you're a little bit short on time, I'll get into more details of this in a moment. But I wanted you to speak briefly on this bill that was passed by Democrats in the House requiring Minnesota businesses to roll all fees associated with purchasing a product into the product's advertising price. Again, I'll get into some of the nuances of this, but Representative New Brindley called this the most dishonest bill that you guys have seen this session.
I mean, there's just so much competition, right? Like, I don't know how she could just recklessly make that statement. I mean, look at all the bills that they're passing. But no, it's certainly, she's absolutely right that it is incredibly reckless. And what it is it's the sweep what the Democrats did under the carpet bill. Because the reason why we have all these what they call, quote unquote, junk fees, things that pop up on your receipt at the end of sitting at a restaurant or whatever the case may be, is because this is the proprietor's way of letting you know, hey, this isn't what I'm charging you. This is what your state,
right,
your local city, your county, this is what the government is charging you. And I'm going to reflect that on my receipt so that you can be a more informed voter. And the Democrats said, can't do that. Can't go around telling people that we're the reason why everything's so expensive. No, 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 no. You have to eat that. You have to portray that you're the one who's making things more and more expensive because of your greed. That's the game here. It's insidious. It's dishonest. And it's on brand. This is who these people are.
State Representative Walter Hudson, as always, man, thank you for your time. I don't know about you, but if it wasn't for my faith, I don't know what I would do at this point.
I'm right there with you.
So, Godspeed to you. Have yourself a great rest of the day. I look forward to talking with you sometime between now and next week, but certainly on the air again next week, my friend.
All right. Sounds good.